Colossians chapter 3. We're going to talk about life after Christmas today. Anyway, first let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Gosh, this is a bit heavy duty, isn't it? Oh. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Just noticed in that little passage there how much of that is reproduced in Ephesians. Not because Paul repeated himself a lot, but because the message is important that we all need to take on board these things. So here we are. It's the day after Christmas, commonly known as Boxing Day. And there's implications for us as Christians that we need to think some more about Christmas, about the fact that Jesus has come into the world and what that means for us. Traditionally, Christians spent 12 days meditating on Christmas, starting on Christmas, again, right through to January the 6th, which is the Feast of Epiphany, which celebrates the coming of the wise men. So 12 days of just thinking about Jesus being born. That's pretty cool. Different to the world. I mean, they've already moved on from Christmas. It's Boxing Day test today. It's the Ashes, Australia, Sydney to Hobart yacht race. All about summer, eh? What do we do? I know. Well, look, let's see, quarter to 11. I think the doesn't the yacht race start at midday? And so anyway, you got time to get home, have a cup of coffee, get home and see the starting of the yacht race. Anyway, it's all about summer. As far as the world's concerned, Christmas is done. We're into the fun bit now. Batteries are all flat in the toys, so a bit of peace. Hey, Easter tomorrow. Well, we got back to school. Important. Boxing Day sales, back to school, Easter, Anzac Day. We live in a lot of time of anticipation, but very little reflection, and that's a problem with the world. And maybe you can take time through the summer slowdown for everybody except Troy. maybe. We'll pray for things to slow down a tad for you too. But just take time to reflect. What does it mean that God has become flesh? What does it mean that God has come not as a conquering warrior, but a little baby living in an inconsequential part of the world? These are important things because if we get that bit wrong, it affects our view of who God is and how we live as Christians. So I want to share just 3 points quickly from this chapter in Colossians, that quick reading there from Colossians 3. Firstly, we need to imitate Christ. In verse 12, Paul says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves. Wow, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? God chose us to be holy. You must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So if you look at what that's saying there, that verse and the one afterwards, it's talking about how we get on with each other, relationships. It's all about relationships, I heard somebody say once. And the Christian life is basically about that. It's not about you just about being right with God. It's about how we relate to each other as the body of Christ, as the kingdom of God, and also how we relate to those who are not yet part of the kingdom. So Paul says, clothe yourselves with mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That suggests to me it's a choice. When I get up in the morning, I choose, firstly, to get dressed. And secondly, I choose what clothes I'm going to put on. I actually made this choice yesterday. I thought, I'm going to wear that to church tomorrow. But, you know, we all make that choice first thing in the morning. Troy, it's his work clothes. For others of us, you know, it's a... Anyway, I won't dwell on that point. But we do make this choice. What clothes will I wear today? I've got two brand new T-shirts I can put on. Not at the same time, but... and we can choose. We choose, will I put on those old daggy clothes or will I wear something new? Will I wear cool summer clothes or will I look respectable? It's up to you. And Paul says that in Christ, we have to make that choice too. We can choose to put on those qualities of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, or we can leave them off. The choice is yours. And look, it's hard. It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. That was a song, a very good song. That song was played at a funeral I attended once, or officiated it. You know, humility is hard. Kindness is hard. These things go against the grain of our human nature, right? You have to teach your kids to share. No kid comes naturally equipped with sharing genes. Well, some do, but they're genetic anomalies. Mostly, we have to say, you've got to share. Because what? We want it all for ourselves. And that's something that as adults, it's the same. And when you come along and say, you've got to be kind, you've got to share what you got. All right, but I don't like it. Yeah, it goes against the grain. But the other thing I find interesting, those five qualities, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, where else do we find them listed? Galatians 5, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, on the one hand, we've got to clothe ourselves with these things, put them on, make a choice, but on the other hand, Holy Spirit develops them in us. So we have a choice. Will we be led by our sinful nature or will we be led by the Holy Spirit? So imitate Christ. Secondly, we need to worship Christ. Verse 16, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. And I reckon if you read that book, Heaven on Earth by Keith Bates, you'll be well on the way to understanding that. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that He gives, that is Christ. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. So this is all about letting the love of God fill our hearts and our thoughts and our minds and our mouths. Let the gospel transform every part of your life. This isn't, when he says let the message fill you, it's not just about memorizing Bible verses, although those things are important. It's about letting it sink into our hearts and letting the gospel transform us. It's not an intellectual process, it's a heart process. Because when we let the gospel sink into our hearts, everything about us changes. And then he says, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're called to be worshippers, and we're meant to worship God with words and with song. I've been reading a book by a guy called Terry Law, who's a worship leader, worship song, worship band convener, something like that. He's written a book about praise and worship. But he says this, the most notable characteristic of all these verbs for praise is that they are words of sound. Biblical praise is always audible and public and, in my experience, often excited. So to be a worshipper means that we worship with our mouths. We fill our mouths out of the overflow of our hearts and our thinking with words of praise and songs of praise. And we need to let that happen, not just on Sunday mornings, but all the time. Let our whole lives be filled with the worship of the Lord. So we're meant to imitate Christ, worship Christ, and this is the third thing, to represent Christ. Verse 17, he says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So everything we say, everything we do, our words, our deeds are meant to reflect Jesus. We're meant to represent Christ, to show the world the nature of Christ, the love of Christ, the kindness of Christ. So much so that when somebody looks at you, they shouldn't see you, they should see Christ. And that is a long-term goal. That's part of this whole process of being transformed by the gospel, letting the words of Christ fill our heads and our hearts and our minds daily. And we come to a place where we are so transformed by God that that he fills everything we do and everything that we are. Now, this is grace. You can't make it happen. It's a cooperative process with God. And we can try to be Christ, but it only happens through grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to worry about those times when we feel like we're not making it. One Sunday in the 1980s, a long time ago, we were living in Hay, and I was a pastor there. And one day, I was just going through a bit of a dry time and, you know, still doing stuff, being a pastor, doing what I had to do. And one Sunday, I was leading communion, and I'm just thinking, as I'm saying the words, in my brain are the words, do I really believe this stuff? Is God really here? And I'm thinking this, and I'm struggling. I'm still going through the ritual, the process, just saying the words. And at the end of the service, somebody said to me, I've never been so aware of the presence of God. I saw Christ shining through you. And I'm thinking, well, it wasn't anything to do with me because I wasn't there. But, you know, as we surrender ourselves to Christ, even when we feel like he's at a distance, and that even if we feel like we're not living up to the standard, still he's there. That's the gift of God. It's the grace of God. And so to represent Christ, be faithful to the best of your ability to what he asks you to do, and then trust the Holy Spirit to make it happen. So in all of those things, it's true, isn't it? Those three things of imitating Christ, worshipping Christ, and representing Christ, it's a two-sided thing. We put on Christ, we do our bit, we worship Christ, we try to live a Christ-like life. But in the end, it's the Holy Spirit that makes it possible for that to happen. And so it's like every part of the Christian life is the bit that we do and the bit that God does. And so even when we feel like we're failing, be assured that God is with you and that he is doing what he said he will do. Father, I thank you that it's not just what we have to do. If it was, it'd just be religion. And if it was all about what you do, it'd just be us being robots. But Lord, it's both. It's us being free agents, but submitting to you and letting you fill us. Lord, I pray that for each of us, we would experience that reality at this time. Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit would be transforming us. The words of the gospel dwelling in us would be transforming us. That our worship of you, as we engage in it, would be transforming us. And Lord, that we would do these things out of obedience and trust that you are achieving your purposes. Lord, in Ephesians, it says over and over that, you know, God is making us to fit into his temple, his household. And Lord, you've crafted each one of us for a specific purpose, for a specific niche, for a specific slot in that building process. And Lord, I pray that you will fashion us and continue to mold us into your purposes. Use us, Lord, use us to your glory. Amen.